Welcome to another audio sermon from Brighton Community Church. I hope that God speaks through this sermon to encourage you, renew your mind, and transform your life. Let's dive in.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing Singapore with peace and prosperity. As we celebrate our nation's 60th birthday, we pray that you continue to lead Singapore. We thank you for our leaders, and we ask that you continue to watch over them and to walk in wisdom, truth, and righteousness. Give them hearts that serve the nation genuinely. Help us build a nation that reflects your justice, your compassion, and your hope. We also want to take this time to pray that you speak to your church through today's message. Open our hearts to understand what love truly means in our church community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, very nice, all red. This morning I went to buy pao for my breakfast. Then the auntie say, hey, National Day celebration haven't over. I say I come and celebrate my king. Amen? Okay, many years ago, I landed on a job in a, most people call it a dream place. Dream Place, is one of the largest IT company then. Then often people will come and tell me, you know, wow, you must be so good, you know, that the company hire you. Actually, I think so too, lah. Hey, what your laugh? I think so too, you know. Well, I really think I have arrived. But I was not even that good at my job to begin with. I struggled. I was just an average salesperson. So I had to find ways to get ahead. And I learned very quickly that in this world, it is not just about what you can do. It is about who you know. So you need to be in the right crowd, eat with the right people, show up at the right place. And I wanted to get ahead, so I stayed close to those with influence and power. And they became my goal. I started to believe this phrase, that my network is my net worth. That's right. Literally, you know. So I only spent time with people who could help me. If you got nothing to offer, I have no time for you, you know. Okay, I could spend all my energy trying to stay in the inner circle. Everyone outside the circle slowly disappeared from my life. Even my good friend, Pastor Sally. Yeah, that's right. So to ensure that I do not miss out any chance to shine or to be kept in a group, I joined the inner circle for their gathering every evening. You know, what I do, last round you came, you know, And weekends were for, guess what? Not church, gambling. Okay? I played mahjong, I played poker cards. Sometimes we play weekdays too, Eat a bit of snake, Yes, so now you know a little bit more about myself. Some deep, dark secrets. You don't jail me for gambling. I quit already, okay? Now, the stakes of the games that I played were very, very high. But I did not realize that I was actually losing something even more valuable. I was losing people who genuinely cared for me. Friends who loved me, who worked with me for years. I slowly shut them out. I did not even have time for my husband. But I did not even feel bad about it at all. I became proud and conceited. I knew how to appear to be in control and confidence. But deep down, I was afraid of falling behind. I was always busy, but I was empty inside. I was functioning, but I had no peace. And the worst part, I didn't even know how far I had gone. Maybe your world feels like that too. Do you feel that you are like always trying to stay relevant, stay in a game, or just to survive the system? Have you ever wondered if you are slowly becoming someone you never meant to be? I know that feeling. And all of that began to change when I came to church. I received love. Now, we all long for love, right? Not just for the romantic kind that you find in the Korean drama or in some love song like this song title, right? But we wanted something that helped us and makes us feel known, supported, and safe. Deep down in us, we desire to have a group of trusted friends who loves us genuinely. But is it easy to form such relationship? And what must we do then? The Bible defines very clearly what this genuine love is like and where we can find it. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 16. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, here Paul gave us a practical blueprint for what genuine love should look like in our lives. Now, I want to break it down for you in 3 points. And the first is that genuine love goes beyond self-interest. Now, for many of us, especially in this culture, we are brought up to mind our own business. Our parents tell us, 不要多管闲事. Yeah, but we also taught good things are be responsible, to be considerate, and at the same time, don't trouble others. Now, we learn to stay within our boundaries. Yeah? Most of us naturally learn to keep to ourselves, to manage our own problems, and we expect others to do the same. Even when we offer to help, it often comes with caution. We ask, will it inconvenience me? Will it interrupt my routine? Is it worth my time? I can't say that these are all not good, but if we are not careful, this way of thinking can shape our relationships. We start to guard our time. We build walls around our private lives. We only open doors to people we are comfortable with. And if we are honest, sometimes we do only when it benefits us or makes us feel good. But Paul calls us to a completely different mindset. In Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 10, he says, be devoted to one another in love and honor and one another above yourselves. Now, to be devoted means choosing faithfulness in relationships even when it feels uncomfortable or one-sided. Not just when it's enjoyable or when we stand to gain something. And when Paul says to honor one another above yourself, he's telling us to make a conscious choice to put someone else's needs, dignity, and well-being before our own convenience or personal preference. Then in verse 13, Paul continues, share with the Lord's people. In verse 13, yes, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, this verse is not just about giving money or food. The word share in Greek actually refers to carrying part of someone else's burden. It means extending help when someone is struggling and choosing to share the burden selflessly. Now, practice hospitality can also mean opening our homes for those in need. Now, if you know someone needs a place to stay and you have the space, would you offer them to move in? Yes? No? Do you think that they may invade your privacy. Yeah? Well, I know some of you open your place for Friday cell group meetings, right? Yeah, we are just blessed to have people to allow us to do that. And that's great. But what if your cell group members left some trash around or forgot to clean up before they leave? Or even if they tried, they didn't meet your cleanliness standard. Why you laugh? Yeah, I know. Okay? Do you get upset? Do you feel frustrated when things are not done your way? If your willingness to open your home depends on whether others meet your expectations, then maybe that is really not hospitality. Maybe it's just preference in disguise, your own preference. Now, genuine love is not about others meeting your standard. It is about you putting their needs before your preference, beyond self-interest. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." This is not just being nice or being humble in front of others. Paul is calling out something deeper. He is confronting the voice inside us that keeps asking, "What's in it for me? What's in it for me?" Think about this. When you open your home for cell group, is it mainly because it's convenient for you, or is it based on what would be the best for the majority of the group? I repeat, is it mainly because it's convenient for you, or based on what would be the best for the majority in the group? I always open my house, but nobody wants to come because it's not convenient for them. Definitely convenient for me. Yeah, for those who don't know, I stay in Bukit Panjang. This church, most of us are northeast, east. Okay, very few west. Okay, we often make decisions based on how it benefits us. Even in ministry, we might secretly be thinking, if I serve here, will people see? Will it open doors to more opportunities for me? And will I be appreciated? But Paul is telling us not to let our actions be driven by ambition to prove our worth or the desire to be seen. He tells us to value others above ourselves, not because we are less valuable, but because love means putting someone else's need above our own. That doesn't always show up in dramatic acts. Sometimes it comes out in small ways. Last week, my colleague Fiona stood here talking about me. Now I talk about her. This is the chance. So she told me one day she had a conversation with her five-year-old son, Evan. I think many of us know Evan here. That day she had to work late, so she prepared some homework to keep him occupied so he won't keep calling her, "Mommy, what time are you coming to fetch me?" So when she reached to pick him up, because he was at the grandma's place, she saw that the homework was not completed. So she asked him why he didn't finish the homework. And then he said, "Today, Ama had church friends visiting her in Ama house. I need to be a good host. I need to take care of their needs." You know, we have to, or it is important to honor and host God's people first. Wow, right? Yes. Applaud for Evan. Maybe he was just trying to get himself out of trouble for not doing his homework, okay? But even if he was, the question is, where did the idea of honoring God come from? Honoring God's people come from? He must have learned from somewhere. Likely from his parents, from his grandma, or maybe Sunday school. Must give credit to Sunday school, you know? Yeah. I know for sure from my personal experience, and some of you were at Fiona's house yesterday, that they are great hosts, right? Fiona and Eugene, right? And I think Evan must have caught it from them, and he learned not to look to his own interests. He learned well. And that's exactly the point. Huh? If we want to love, want love to truly change everything in the way we live and also the way we raise our children, it must go beyond self-interest. Tell the person next to you, beyond self-interest.
Beyond self-interest.
Very good. Number two, genuine love goes beyond socializing. Any of you have club membership? I think this service have a lot. I used to have one many years ago, now I don't have. I used to have one at a hotel, mainly for the swimming pool and the gym. And you get to enjoy the facilities, right? Maybe, and then maybe say hello to a few familiar faces, and then I go home. No one asks about my life, or anyone expect me to grow. It's comfortable, but just surface level. It's transactional. You come for what you need, and you leave when you are done. But Romans 12 tells us how a community, a committed community looks like. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. The word your in this passage is plural, not singular. It's not to an individual. Paul was telling the church in Rome as a whole to a love that can tell the difference between pleasing God and what harms his people. And to cling is like a glue that stick together, right? Stick people together to do what is good. And what that means is we do not just enjoy each other's company. We help one another to reject what is harmful and hold on to what is good, because that is how we truly serve the Lord. And a cell group is a close-knitted community where we grow in holiness, where we sharpen one another, and where we shape to become more like Jesus. There is no community without commitment. Say together with me. There is no community without commitment. At Brighton Community Church, we are intentional about building a committed community. And that's why cell group membership, though it's not an automatic enrollment, we encourage you to sign up. And we renew the commitment every year. It is not just a formality. It is a way of saying, I am here with you to walk together, to grow together, and to take responsibility for my discipleship journey. Yet, we must be honest. Sometimes, cell group becomes just another weekly routine. We meet on Friday, we share a bit, we laugh a lot, we eat even more, right? But from Monday to Friday, we hardly connect with one another. If we are not careful, we can start to treat cell group as something that we attend to receive rather than to invest in. Some even stop coming, thinking that they do not need it, or finding expectations too hard to meet. You know, it's very tiring. But none of us can grow to be more like Christ on our own. God designed the church for us to carry each other's burden, sharpen one another, and keep one another walking in the light. And cell group is not a social club. It calls for trust, commitment, and a willingness to give of ourselves. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now John makes it very, very clear. If you are walking in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Light in the Bible speaks of God's truth and holiness. So to walk together is to live openly before Him and His people, letting His truth guide us and His holiness shape us. It means we must not pretend to be someone we are not. And when we walk in the light, we are drawn to walk with others who are in the light too. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from the sin is the same blood that makes us one family, which is why fellowship is not something optional or when we have time, but it is an essential part of following Jesus and growing as His disciples. A cell group is one way we live this out, a place where we help carry each other's burden, where we pray together, serve together, cry together, and grow together. It may not always be comfortable, but it is always necessary. Now, remember the story I shared just now at the beginning? So what changed after I came to church, and why do I keep coming back? I came to Brighton when my daughter was 3 years old. Almost every Friday, I would have to leave work. Don't ask me where's my work, okay? It's far enough. And travel all the way back home to Bukit Panjang to fetch my daughter and make the long journey from my house to the east for cell group. For many years, my cell group was either in Joo Seng or in Serangoon North. And because I don't have a lot of time, I take taxi. So every Friday, my taxi cost me about $75. Yes, costly, huh? So after the meeting, I still have to lug my sleepy daughter home, you know, in the cab. And in the cab, she'll, I'm very sleepy, I'm very tired, you know, and then get down from the taxi, I want you to carry. Sorry, no carry, mommy back pain. So she has to walk home whining. Now, it is a very costly thing that I've done. Definitely very tiring. It did not make any economic sense, and it would have been easier for me to stay home, right? Nobody agreed with me, okay. But I kept going because I knew this is what God wanted me to do. I needed to be rooted in a community that I could trust, one that wanted the best for me, and one I could grow in. The brothers and sisters in my cell group showed me what Christian living really looks like. It's not about hiding my wretched past, but letting Jesus into it. They encouraged me when I was weary, corrected me with love when I needed, and shared practical wisdom from the Bible so that I could apply it to my life. They never pretended to be perfect, and they have been honest about their own struggles too. What I appreciated most is their commitment to point me back to Jesus again and again. That is why, no matter how far the distance is and how costly it was for me, I kept showing up. Because love like that changes everything in my life. And tell the person next to you, love changes everything. So I strongly encourage you, if you are still not in a cell group, sign up for our membership. I think it closes on the 24th of August. Still got time, huh? And the class is on 31st August. Okay? My tu liao, huh? Okay, so genuine love goes beyond self-interest, beyond socializing, and the third point is genuine love goes beyond segregation. Now, truth be told, we tend to pick and choose who we want to be close with. Right, we naturally gravitate toward people who are like us, those we find easy to walk with or talk to, fun to be around, and not socially awkward. Now, we spend time with those who affirm us, not those that stretch us or correct us. Right? Now, but genuine love doesn't put people in pigeonhole. It means not to avoid people who are different. It does not categorize people into my type, not my type. It does not draw lines that Jesus never drew. Now let's continue to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 14 to 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And do not be conceited. Christians are not called to return evil for evil, but to pray for those who harm us. We are not called to be jealous or covet when others rejoice, or avoid those who are having long suffering. We are called to walk with people through both joy and pain. The early church did not grow so rapidly because Christians were powerful or popular. Christians, in fact, were mocked, marginalized, and persecuted. But what made them stood out at that time was how they showed love. While others protected themselves, they cared for the sick. While others ignored the poor, they took care of them. While others avoided the outcast, they sat beside them. They prayed for those who harmed them. They welcomed those whom the society rejected. Jesus had modeled it all for us. And that is what made the early church unstoppable. Can we say the same for ourselves today? Suppose you are on an MRT or on a bus. Car one cannot imagine, okay? But there are two empty seats in that transport. One is next to a very well-dressed man, or like me, well-dressed. The other is next to someone who looks awkward, maybe smelly, unpleasant. Be honest. Which seat would you choose? Don't sit, right? I heard that. Very good, huh? What does your choice reveal about the kind of love you practice? Well, I must tell you the truth, lah. I like to think that I'm a kind person. Right, people think I work in Brighton Connection. Very kind one. But if I'm honest, there are also times when I choose what is convenient instead of what is loving. I care only when it's not too troublesome. I help only when it does not disrupt my plans. And I extend love only to those who are easy to love. It really takes a lot of intentionality for me to overcome such behaviors. But genuine love goes beyond segregation. It sees people not by their status, their hygiene, social ability, but by their worth in the eyes of God. Now, we may think that these everyday choices, like where we sit or who we talk to, are harmless, but they reveal something deeper. They show how easily we can judge people based on what is visible. And the Bible does not treat that lightly. And James confronts this directly in James chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You, stand there, sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We are not just talking about where should people sit. James is exposing something important, which is how we decide who deserves our time and attention. And when we treat people differently based on status or appearance, we are not living out the gospel. We are using the world standard to judge worth. In God's eyes, every person matters. Now, not because of how they look or what they have, but because they were made in His image. None of us earn our place in His kingdom. All of us are welcomed in by grace. So if we truly believe the gospel, we must stop showing favoritism. We must stop making quiet judgments about who is worth our effort. And we must actively resist this bias, not only in our minds, but through our actions. We must go to the very people that we might have once overlooked and be intentional about reaching out to them. So this year, Brighton Connection has started working with the Prison Fellowship. we joined their family care team to befriend the families of the inmates and the ex-offenders. Now, these are the people whose stories may feel far from ours, people whom you may not have spoken to before, and people who carry stigma, fear, and loneliness. But they are deeply loved by God. Well, we are not there to fix their lives. We are there to befriend them, be their source of help and comfort. We wanted them to know that they are not forgotten. We show up because Jesus did. Jesus sought out the broken, the rejected, and the unseen, and he did not turn away from them. Now, currently, we have four pairs of volunteers from our church participating in this pilot ministry that I'm doing. I am certain they will tell you how deeply meaningful it is. It is not always easy. They have a commitment to deliver. They have to visit the family once a month for 12 months. Okay, but I can tell you, I think they all feel that it's worth it. Now, we do not go in hoping to convert them to Christians immediately. Yeah? We go in to show love because Christ compels us to love. And the trust and rapport, when it's built with them, the gospel naturally finds its way in. Now, our dream is not just to see this family visit the church. It is to see them find a place where they are seen, known, and loved. A place where they can belong. And I hope the church is ready to receive them. Now, there's still so much more work to be done. If this stirs something in you, well, come and speak to me after service. I'm happy to share more with you personally. Now, we all long to be in a community where no one is left out because of our past or where we come from. Now, this is what the church is meant to be, a people who reflects the heart of Christ. He came for the poor, the broken, and the overlooked, and he's still calling us to do the same. So let us not stop at hearing. Let us respond and be the kind of people who choose the less obvious seat, not stand. Okay? Let's be open to reach out to those who are marginalized. And do not wait for someone else to start. Step out of your comfort zone now and befriend those who are marginalized. And discover just how much love can do when it refuses to segregate. Jesus did not build walls, he built bridges. He didn't create cliques. He created community and he calls us to do the same. And that is why I love Brighton Community Church. I'm not selling koyok here, but I'm just telling you how I feel, okay? Not because the church is perfect. Not because we always get along with one another very well. But because it is one place where I experience people who are committed to journey as a family through thick and thin with me. My desire is to see more of this genuine love that goes beyond self-interest, goes beyond socializing, and goes beyond segregation in this church. Now, if you have been in the church for a while, you are here because someone once showed you this genuine love. They reach out to you and they walk with you. Will you now do the same for someone else? Or if you have been staying arm's length, maybe today is a day for you to step in. Not just to attend, but to belong. Not just to be welcome, but to join us in welcoming others. And not just to be loved, but to love. Now, well, if you are not a believer of Jesus Christ yet, and this looks like a community that you want to be in, I want to extend this invitation to you to be part of us. If you like to, you may repeat after me in this prayer I'm about to lead. Now let us all close our eyes and bow our heads, and you may repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I have gone my own way and sinned against you. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on a cross to redeem me so that I can have a new life. teach me what it means to love like you do. Thank you, and in your precious name I pray. Amen. Now, if you have prayed this prayer, congratulations and welcome to the family. Please let the person who brought you down know, or you can visit us at the visitor booth at level 1, and we will have pastors at the booth to speak with you. Right now, maybe let us all close in prayer. Father, I give thanks, Lord, for where you put us in. A place where we can belong, a place where we know we can grow old with together. I pray for those who have not known you yet, Lord, that they will make a decision and they will know that this is the right place for them to commit the rest of their lives. I pray too, Lord, for those of us who are struggling, maybe in the cell group, struggling with our life, that we want to come back to the cell group, bear our hearts, be willing to be vulnerable to each other, to grow together, Lord. I pray that as a cell group, we learn to show love to people around us, love that goes beyond self-interest, goes beyond just socializing, and goes beyond segregation. I pray that as a church, we will be the one that bring the light, the hope, and the love to people around us. We give thanks, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you've been blessed and inspired by today's message. If you're thinking, where can I get more? Then head over to brighton.org.sg, where we've got a whole library of audio sermons just like this one. You'll find information about our services and ways to get involved. We hope to see you soon.